Well, we have had some suggestions here, the need for somebody to manage the court system above and beyond those people who are already there to manage it, that we should have a weekend and night court for traffic cases, that there appears to be a problem with the drafting of laws. Well, that's something that has been spoken of so many times. There's a shortage of people with the skills of drafting and that sort of thing in the country. That we should have less incarceration and higher fines for cases, drug cases. Plea bargaining, yes, for some, but as we heard from a caller here, it disadvantages the victim. And judges on contract? No. Who's going to react?
This is Michael Carrington, yes.
For the DLP.
Just let me allay the fears of the caller about plea bargaining. As far as I understand it, it doesn't quite work like that. He seemed to be suggesting that you will go scot-free for some kind of charge that might disadvantage the person who is being wronged. It more has to do with accepting a slightly lesser charge that might lead to a lesser penalty, and not walking scot-free. And so I think in any event, the Chief Justice is set to issue a statement about his direction on that sometime soon, and therefore I don't think that I should try to preempt him in any way, not that I know what he's going to say. With respect to the question of judges on contract, I would say only if it has to do with a very limited time, let's say, to take care of the backlog. I think it's important that our judges retain their security of tenure in an effort to keep them free from any kind of manipulation, any kind of interference, political or otherwise. With respect to the question that was asked earlier about the three judges that would have been appointed or that we would have spoken about, I want to take the time to correct the record. I had indicated to Eddie that he was not correct with that information. That program where Mr. Hinkson claims that three judges were identified and trained and so on, the difficulty with that is that it was not properly implemented. The president of the CCJ overstepped his bounds. He would have identified judges without having been signed off on by the country. Then the situation was that the Canadian said, look, you can't use our money to pay the judges. And therefore, they had to pull back from that. He also caused problems, and there were also problems in Grenada. So much so that the implementation team has had to be changed. The Canadians changed the implementation team, but the program is still very much on. So it isn't a case where Barbados had three judges trained and then refused to appoint them. That is a nonsense. And I said before that you knew it. Now, I just want to comment on one other point, the drafting of laws. We seem to have this problem, this with either government, and I don't think the problem is in the drafting of laws. I think the laws that we're having are soundly drafted. There is a dearth of draftsmen, and therefore some laws take a bit long to get done, which is the difference. I don't think there's any evidence that laws as drafted are incorrect. I've always said before that there's no difficulty if you go to court. The courts, the judicial officers are there to interpret the law. As Mr. Hinkson knows, Parliament may get and may think they have legislated one matter, one thing, but the courts can say, look, that's what you might have intended, but it's what you really did. Okay? And therefore, I don't see why we should have a problem with even government being taken to court. And the court say, look, this is the real position. And the final point I comment on, I also want to say that when you really look at it, the administration has put in place a whole slew of legislation which is designed to make things more efficient and to do some of the things that have been in the works for years. We've also gone ahead, refurbished police stations, built new ones. We would have opened the Supreme Court building too, Eddie, remember that? And we have put the legislative, we have implemented a new legislative information management system that will digitize Barbados laws. So we are saying, look, we have given you the framework. We want the human element now to make it, to take it and run with it. I want to add that it has since come to my attention too that in terms of this, the Chief Justice, I think Bermuda has a system where the Chief Justice is not necessarily the senior judge in terms of the judge who necessarily is supposed to know the best law and to sit at the Court of Appeal level. And so I think their Chief Justice functions very often at first instance, doing a bulk of the work, but it's more of an administrator. And maybe that is the kind of change that we can make. Let it be known, look, you can function very well dealing with these first instance matters and setting the trend.
Edmund maybe Hinkson. That's we can
look at. Of course, thank you, David. Michael has intervened to speak of some of the issues he says his party has done. He mentioned police, but one of the issues surely in terms of crime prevention has been the lack of training given to the police force within the last 10 years. We've had a situation where criticism was made of the Barbados Labour Party that, you know, in terms of whether police were special or not, the Democratic Labour Party government promised them, as well as other categories of public servants, interest-free mortgages, duty-free cars. The police have not been given the resources, the training, the increased numbers.
And how would that impact
the morale of the police force? The morale of the police force, plus, of course, the acting appointments and perceived political interference in terms of who has been appointed, the court cases that have resulted from this. All of this has seriously undermined the effectiveness of the police force and the enforcement of criminal justice system in Barbados. And this, again, has to be the fault from the top, the political directorate.
What would you do differently?
Well, certainly we will give the police the resources that are necessary. We'll train them.
The issue of flexi allowance
has not been cut in any way.
But the issue of flexi allowance was cut after 2 years of this Democratic Labour Party government. Policemen used to ritually get flexi time and increase allowances when the Barbados Labour Party was last in office. My understanding is that was discontinued into year two or three of the Democratic Labour Party government.
Your understanding is wrong.
No, well, I don't know. I wanted to put on the table too, though, David, because the issue came up with Mrs. Turton of the Bar Association speaking in terms of the lack of lawyers who are interested in doing criminal law and, you know, the fact that most of the lawyers now, as we know, are qualifying are female. And maybe not wanting to go into that. But surely we have to find a way to encourage more persons to be in the criminal legal system, more lawyers, and therefore be available to defend those charged with criminal offences, especially serious ones. One of the issues, though, is legal aid.
One of the issues, legal apart aid. From legal aid, though, mm-hmm. what she is pointing to, mm-hmm. let us look down the road at the trend. Because if the argument is that we are having a shortage of people in a particular specialty mm-hmm. on the basis of gender, mm-hmm. then if you continue on that trend, where will you be? And isn't it incumbent on planners mm-hmm. to start thinking about how we are going to address that particular trend?
David, that is a tremendous point. I'm happy you said that, because this same thing that you just mentioned affects every system in Barbados. We don't, in our educational system, we don't plan for skyscrapers or know that we need more innovators in the future. In the legal system, it is happening as well. This is something that is systemic.
That is not being addressed in this discussion at all.
It is not, because if you're going to plan, if you know you have a challenge with a lot of female lawyers, and you know that you need more male lawyers, for example, in the legal profession, well, you be open, if you're giving scholarships or whatever, you can give scholarships to more men, let them know that the aim of this scholarship is so that you could practice in the area.
Are the men afraid to do that, though?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. As a matter of fact, look at Andrew Pilgrim. He's been mentored by other men who helped in the system to be a very effective lawyer. And I'll tell you this, the whole matter of having an increased cadre, Commissar said that he doesn't think that we should have an increased number of magistrates. And he used the medical analogy. The parallel is that in medicine, if you've been diagnosed with diabetes, you don't only have to have increased medicines and so on, you have to also do the preventative, which is exercise and so on. And so for this whole system here, we really need to make sure that while we are clearing the backlog, that we are also suppressing the cause.
There is another dimension to mm-hmm. this discussion about the planning, mm-hmm. and it has to do with the concern that I've heard from some lawyers that they feel that we are training too many lawyers. So how do we address this shift in circumstances where, according to what we heard from Ms. Turton at the Bar Association, you have too few lawyers in one particular aspect of the law, while at the same time you are having a concern that Barbados is just churning out more and more lawyers, and it is more difficult, as some people see it, to accommodate them within the system, and it is making the environment more challenging. How do you see it, because, Michael Carrington?
Because the Bar Association has said so, I don't necessarily accept it that is true, that we have too few criminal lawyers and so on. The other thing that I want to say is that how are you going to deal with a situation where an accused person says, look, Eddie Hinkson is my lawyer and I want Eddie Hinkson. You can, so if you see where I'm going with that. So you have to respect the right of the accused to legal representation. So I don't know how you're going to insist that these other lawyers that you put out there represent the man when he wants a particular lawyer. With respect to turning out too many lawyers, we've heard that before. But you know that there are a lot of persons with a legal background who don't necessarily work in the day-to-day upfront aspect of the law, and therefore they will find their place. The important thing is for us to see how we can deal with the backlog. And by the way, a backlog exists throughout the Commonwealth. So, and it isn't something that just happened yesterday as others want us to believe. And I come back to the point, we have put in place, the National Council for Substance Abuse. They have had their tertiary, their program dealing with primary school students, dealing with Cub Scouts, dealing with secondary school students and so on. And you'd have dealt with all that last week. So just like with the health aspect of it, we're working on the
proactivity.
The proactivity. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So the reality is that there's a very human element in terms of how we deal with the backlog, and that is what we have to look at.
We talk a lot about the attorneys, but part of what has been recommended here, and we will get your reaction to this after we come back, but this is what has been suggested here. Additional assistance for accused persons. In only the most serious of cases do accused persons currently qualify for legal aid-funded representation in court. However, a significant number of adjournments in the High Court are due to the judges granting accused persons who are not represented by counsel additional time to prepare their cases. This should be structured so that the accused persons who cannot afford an attorney and do not qualify for legal aid are required to prepare their cases before the date of the hearing. This can be achieved if a free or low-cost facility is set up for accused persons to be given advice and assistance in preparing their cases, and they are properly informed of their obligation to be ready for the hearing. This recommendation also applies to accused persons who have not retained an attorney, even though they may have briefed him or her, as this also causes delays and requests for adjournments. Why on earth has this not been acted upon? Let us get a response when we come back. Was for us to set up a free or low-cost facility for accused persons to be given advice and assistance in preparing their cases. As it stands right now, I suppose many people would say that those of you in the legal fraternity would balk at that idea, because it would mean that fewer people would be looking to lawyers for representation. Where have we gone in relation to this whole matter of assisting people to do their own work in this regard?
True. As I was saying, David, we clearly have to look at strengthening our legal aid system. And again, this is one of the pledges we have in our draft manifesto at present, which, as I said, is available for viewing online. The legal aid system certainly has been used by many accused who are charged with serious crimes, those crimes that legal aid funds mean, murder, for instance, rape, serious robbery. But the system has fallen away under the Democratic Labour Party rule. I mean, the funds aren't being paid.
Only under
the lawyers aren't being paid, and therefore,
when you say as
was said, no, in terms of payment for the attorneys at law, which Mrs. Turton mentioned about, therefore lawyers shy away from it. If there's no money for the legal aid to pay, and you have to wait 2-3 years for your payment, naturally, lawyers will not volunteer to be part of it and will move away from the system.
Hickson,
we have to give it the resources.
Mr.
There
Hickson,
is a price for the administration of justice. The reality of the situation is that... Hold on. The reality of the situation that the people who require legal aid are generally poor persons, and the law must be seen to be as equal and equitable as it can be. So therefore, we can't have a situation where obviously the white collar criminals, the rich people can afford top legal representation, but the poor person, because he doesn't have money and because legal aid is not properly financed by a government, has to suck salt. And you therefore have delays in the system. You therefore have what has been intimated, people getting bail for serious offenses, murder, etc., because the system is... their cases are not coming up, and all this is causing problems in terms of criminality.
Let me get some other views from around the table. No, I haven't heard from Mr. Newton for quite a while. I know you're taking copious notes, but I don't know if this somehow will come up in the UPP manifesto, or is it finished already?
We're working.
You know, the Barbados Labour Party has a draft manifesto.
We do have a draft.
You have stuff.
Have a draft.
You have stuff online already.
Solutions, Barbados has had their manifesto for 3 years.
So what have you actually said about this area? What have you promised in this specific area in your manifesto?
Efficiency in the judicial system is of paramount importance to us. And we are proposing to carry out an audit of the justice procedure to determine which steps can be cut and amend legislation when necessary to facilitate this.
You know, that sounds like a couple. That sounds like a very broad scenario where you say, look, I can't give you anything more specific than the promise of an audit or a review or a referendum, because even the Barbados Labour Party is coming across like that. Of course, the Democratic Labour Party isn't saying much right now. We're keeping things close to their chest. So, I mean, when we listen to all of you, we say, well, you know.
But, you know, the problem in the justice system is old. It's long-standing, and it cannot be cleared up immediately. But we have to put measures in place to deal with improving the efficiency of the justice system.
Solutions, Barbados. Anything more specific from you manifesto that has already been published?
David, the matter is, according to Solutions Barbados,
management,
we need to fix the thing. The thing is broken. It needs to be managed properly. We are intent on putting systems in place as it regards to the ticketing system and making sure that there's more throughput in a structured setup system there. We're contrary to David Commission, we need more judges, even if it's for a finite period of time, where the understanding of the lawyers being hired to be magistrates know that their tenure is for a period of X, Y, and for an objective of Y. this, the purpose of them being hired is to clear the backlog to a what should be a predetermined reasonable amount of cases. If this is done, and along with the proactive acts of it communicating and speaking to the public about crime, putting mentorship systems in place for young men, the two together could certainly lower the amount of load on the system. And there should be a lot more fairness in the system, where very rich people in Barbados tend to be treated specially. And this is something that has that permeated our legal system for many, many years. If you're rich, I mean, I'm aware of some.
How would
things
you change that?
No, because it has to be that the judges sitting on the benches must understand what their role is.
How are you going to do that?
Well, again, this is about communication and recalibrating our legal system. And
How can you recalibrate your system to bring about that consciousness on the part of a person that is on the bench, recognizing that there has to be judicial independence as well?
Okay, we had a man by the name of David, we keep mentioning the name David Simmons, who is reputed to be one of the best legal minds and best managers that Barbados has ever seen. They've used him in Jamaica. I saw him used, he dealt with the case with Judas Koch. I mean, and the reason why he was called is because he was recognized for his management skill. If we if we have such a person managing our system, we would be able to have somebody looking, doing key performance indicators and calling upon judges to get to work on time, to have cases resolved on time in 9 months, 3 months, 6 months, or 9 months, and penalties for those judges if they fail to give a conclusion to a case in a timely fashion.
But you must bear in mind,
these are practical,
real issues.
Yes.
That the same person did function as Chief Justice of Barbados. Was that achieved in the period?
He started to get movement of cases through the system and started to demand that judges act and become responsible and accountable. And we saw something, we saw the wheels beginning to turn. Now, as far as I'm concerned, those wheels have come to a grinding halt. And Solutions Barbados, as a party, want to address this, both for rich and poor Barbadians alike.
Okay.
Well, he functioned as Attorney General, he functioned as Chief Justice, and of course he was responsible for the rules of the new rules of the Supreme Court. On that, I say no more. I am not going to sit here
execution
and offer all kind of pie in the sky solutions. Neither am I going to say that we'll find the money to pay all these attorneys to represent all these people and so on. We have said is that, look, these are the steps which we have taken. I prefer to spend the money on things like prevention and rehabilitation, like we've been talking about, through the National Council of Substance Abuse and so on, rather than use at the other end to defend perpetrators.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
You've spoken about what you have already done. The question is, what are the ideas for the future? You are a party coming to the people of Barbados yet again, saying, give us a third term. But we are getting, you get a focus on what you have done, but very little focus on what you are about to do.
Oh, you see, the campaign hasn't started yet. We haven't leaked our manifesto. When our manifesto is ready for dissemination, you will know exactly that. You will have to ask the question, David.
We have seen your manifesto. We have seen the manifesto of the Democratic Labour Party.
You have, where is it? Yeah, it's 2018.
You've been acting for the last 10 years. You are the incumbent government. What are you talking about? You are the incumbent government.
But David hasn't seen the manifesto.
You see, David,
he said he's seen our manifesto.
I said you are supposed to be living your manifesto for the last 10 years. What have you done? The point is this.
Hold on.
For too many times, Barbadians are given a lot of paper. And a lot of promises are made to Barbadians by both the Barbadians Labour Party and Democratic Labour Party.
Just like Solutions and Barbadians.
Solutions Barbadians is a new party that we will make a difference
all
in
right.
this country.
We're coming right back. We're coming right back.
Whenever you want, wherever you are, for all your banking needs, we make it easy.
We have a breaking story from Starcom Network News. Come in, Stetson Babb.
Hi, good day to you, David. A very interesting last several days, several unnatural deaths. And latest today, there were a body and a car found in a burnt area at Long Beach Christchurch. I'm here with Earl Maynard, a legendary figure in Barbados known for bodybuilding. In fact, he lives just a short distance, as you can see here, right from here. He's the one, he and his wife, spotted the smoke. You called the fire service this morning. What time was it, and what can you tell us about what you saw?
Around 11:30-ish, and then we saw the fire, and then because of the bushy area, we didn't know exactly the danger that we faced. So, but the fire service quickly came up, and they started working to get it out, and then they discovered the body. Somewhere near a car that apparently was being trying to be burnt or whatever up that area. We weren't allowed to go up there because the fire embers were still very strong in the area. But the police told me that there's a body has been found there and the police are on the scene.
So we can see the police in the fire truck and we can see the burnt area from here. In fact, we can see the white car just in the distance. You know whether the body was in or outside of the car?
I am not sure because we weren't allowed to go up there. It was like a cordoned area, you know. We don't want to disrupt any evidence that might be lying around the area. So the police were very pleasant in keeping us away from that area.
But we can see the smoke is on the left side here going up, and the car just in the distance from that. Was that what you told me? The fire was in a wider area then?
Yes, the fire started on the right side of the car, to the right side there where you can see where the palm tree is, and it came across rather quickly because that is a very heavily bushy area in that end of the Long Beach area. So the fire quickly spread to the left of us, went to the right of the area there, and that's when they found the body. Right. Well, the body wasn't found right there. It was found closer to the car.
Body closer to the car?
Mm-hmm.
And you were speculating what could have happened to you?
Not sure. I don't like to speculate because I don't know for sure. Like
you were telling me earlier about we don't know for sure.
Yeah, no.
Well, so as though somebody was covering the tracks because the car is there and the body.
No question. Someone was coming there because they're trying to burn up evidence. Of course, that makes common sense. If you're going to dispose of a body and you're in the area that you want to make sure that all your trucks are burnt, lit up in the films.
And we could be compromised, but of course, we don't know. We don't know exactly what the facts are. We can only come to conclusions based on what we can see from here. So we heard Long Beach. That's Earl Maynard, a legendary Barbadian figure, certainly well known in here for bodybuilding. Some of you are back involved.
Stetson? Now.
Yes, sir.
Do we have a sense of whether the body is male or female?
We have no idea just yet. We haven't been able to go.
I think it's a male body.
Okay. Well, that's the breaking story from Starcom Network News, Stetson Babb at Long Beach. Remember that earlier today we had a killing where someone was stabbed in the vicinity of the River Van Terminal and died at hospital. That's the latest from Starcom Network News. And we're back here on Voice of Barbados, the People's Parliament, the wrap-up. We're into the wrap-up now. And who will go first in giving their overview of what we've heard here today? I hope that coming out of this, Barbadians get some glimmer of hope for the future in terms of what's going to happen with this legal system of ours. Eventually, they will get the opportunity to determine which of these political parties they'll put their confidence in. But from the UPP, Mr. Newton,
yes,
your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are simply this, that I know you dealt with the social aspect last week, and today we are dealing with the justice system. But in my view, we cannot separate the two, or we should not seek to separate the two, because we must find a balance between the commission of crime and intervention. And I think that if we focus more on intervention, then we can make an impressive start or have an impact on reducing the backlog in the justice system.
That's Nigel Newton of the United Progressive Party. From Solutions Barbados, Paul Gibson.
Yes, Solutions Barbados believes that it is time for not only the court system to be addressed and sorted, but the civility needs to return to every neighborhood in Barbados. You know who has the guns, you know who the thieves are, and you need to assist and become a part of the process of mitigating against crime in this country. For too long, we sat and know who the gunmen are, who the shooters are, and so on, and we need to let the police know who they are. We need to you as a Barbadian need to protect this country. It is incumbent upon you to make sure that you protect your neighborhood and be responsible for protecting this country. The backlog in the system will be reduced if we as citizens join in and become a part of the solution. You know, there are customs officers, there are immigration officers, and there are people put there to protect our ports. If you're aware of any of them that are not doing their job or are breaking the law, let somebody know. They need to be arrested as well. This is a serious time in the history of this country. And Solutions Barbados is calling people to do their part and to pray and to really correct the imbalances.
They need confidence in the system to do that?
Well, you know what? We as Barbadians know what is right. We know what the right thing is. We need to do the right thing and to not accept the practices that are going on. You know, in terms of crime, even the music is something that we need to address. It is programming our young people to fracture themselves and to fracture our communities.
Edmund Hinkson of the Barbados Labour Party.
Thank you, David, again for having my party, you know, and myself in particular on this program. Michael, before the last break, spoke about the DLP manifesto not yet being out. I mean, this is 5 years, almost 2 months since last election. Over 3,700 days that the Democratic Labour Party has been in office, and we still do not know what is their position on this extremely serious issue. I mean, had a long time to do it and to try and fix the issue, or at least attempt to, and they have done nothing about it. We in the Barbados Labour Party, we've put out a draft manifesto which speaks clearly in terms of strengthening the judiciary, judges' specialisation. Very importantly, less criminalisation of Barbadians, ordinary Barbadians, for ordinary offences such as traffic offences, vending, prior larceny. We speak towards the social interventions aspect, strengthening legal aid, restorative justice, rehabilitation of offenders with community services, and alternatives to jail sentences.
Thank you very much.
And strengthening of police.
And Michael Carrington of the Democratic Labour Party.
Yes, thank you. Well, I have said before that we have put the framework in place, and I've explained to you how that would function. A backlog has existed ever since, even under Mr. Simmons has existed. We've said to you too that we have coming a new juvenile bill act, family court, juvenile court, 3 additional judges, the realignment of the magistracy, the enlargement of the jurisdiction of the magistrates, the ticketing system for offences, all these things will be more properly set out in our manifesto. So I'm not buying it. I'm not here to give you some pie-in-the-sky promises, but we have given you solid things that we have done and we will continue to do to improve the administration of justice in this country.
Thank you very much, Michael Carrington, Paul Gibson, Nigel Newton, Edmund Hinkson, and also the backup team here today, Ronnie Clark and Dennis Johnson. This has been the People's Parliament edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I'm David Ellis. Do have a great afternoon.